From the JAMA Network, this is JAMA Clinical Reviews, interviews and ideas about innovations in medicine, science, and clinical practice. Here's your host, Ed Livingston.
When someone doesn't seem to know what's happening, it may be thought that they have some sort of cognitive problem, especially if they're elderly. Hearing loss can also cause people to seem confused. When someone can't hear very well, they may invest so much energy in trying to understand what's being said to them that they may appear confused. They may spend so much energy just trying to listen to the words that they can't absorb them. In a new study published in the January 16, 2020 issue of JAMA Otolaryngology, Dr. Justin Golub from Columbia University spoke with Dr. Michael Johns, the online editor for JAMA Otolaryngology, about his research examining the relationship between hearing loss and cognitive decline.
I'm Dr. Michael Johns, online editor for JAMA Otolaryngology, Head and Neck Surgery. Joining us today, we have Dr. Justin Golub, otologist, neurootologist, and assistant professor of otolaryngology, head and neck surgery at Columbia University. He has published a thought-provoking study in this week's JAMA Oto Online First entitled Association of Subclinical Hearing Loss with Cognitive Performance. Welcome, Dr. Golub, and thank you for taking the time for this today. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Well, thanks, Mike. I'm happy to be here. I just had a cup of coffee and I'm ready to go.
Excellent. The findings of your investigation are very intriguing and build upon this growing knowledge base regarding hearing loss and its associations with cognitive performance. Can you give the listeners some background on the topic and what led you to perform this particular study?
Sure. Well, as you may know, age-related hearing loss is one of the most common things that otolaryngologists deal with. And we typically have thought of it as sort of a nuisance. And if people want, they can go on and they can get hearing aids and treat it. But if they don't want to treat it, it's not a big deal. But in the past decade or so, there's been more and more evidence showing that maybe age-related hearing loss actually is a problem. It's been independently associated with all sorts of bad things, depression, dementia, falls, hospitalizations. And if you think about it, it kind of makes sense. If you can't hear, then you're not going to be as aware of your environment, and you might be more prone to slipping and falling. And if you can't communicate with your loved ones and talk during Thanksgiving, you're more likely to be depressed. It just kind of makes sense. And studies, including by our own group, have shown actually a dose-dependent relationship, meaning that the more hearing loss you have, the stronger the association with all these bad things. So in one study by my collaborator at Johns Hopkins, Frank Lin, and his group, the risk of incident dementia rose from about 1.9 times to 4.9 times as hearing loss increased from mild to severe, controlling for a bunch of confounders. In another study that we did in our group, people with mild hearing loss had on average a 2.5 drop on a common cognitive test called the digit symbol substitution test. But those who had severe hearing loss, they had over a 6-point drop. So that's a big difference, 6 versus 2.5. And this was clinically significant.
Sure.
And it's basically been assumed that this relationship between worse hearing and worse cognition begins when people have hearing loss. And we typically define hearing loss in adults at about 25 decibels, which is sort of arbitrary. And no one really has ever looked at whether this relationship started earlier in those who have hearing better than a 25 decibel pure tone average.
Got it. And so what was your key research question with this particular study?
Yeah. So the question was whether the relationship between hearing and cognition begins kind of, quote, before people have hearing loss. In other words, does it exist among those who have normal hearing? And it's a little funny to phrase it this way because we're studying hearing loss in people who don't have hearing loss. But the definition of hearing loss, it's kind of arbitrary. So in kids, we define it usually as 20 decibels. We usually use the pure tone average as like the single number. So about 20 decibel pure tone average, which is the mean threshold at 500, 1,000, 2,000, and 4,000 hertz on a pure tone audiogram. And in adults, we define it at 25. But for example, last week I had a cold and I probably had my hearing drop from like 5 to 15. You may hear my voice right now. I'm a little raspy because I'm still getting over a cold. Maybe I can fly out. You could scope me. but I was very disturbed by this. And actually, in the past when I've had colds, I've gone to our audiologist and said, hey, you know, I feel like I'm deaf. Can you measure my hearing? And they measure it and it's like pretty good. It's like 15 decibels. But I noticed a big difference. So it told me, you know, this whole definition of hearing loss, it's kind of arbitrary. And people who are sensitive, they may actually really notice hearing loss when it's, you know, better than the arbitrary 25 decibel threshold.
And it does have implications for hearing screening and early detection as well, huh? Perhaps.
True. Well, you have to you do need thresholds, and you don't want a threshold so sensitive that everyone is labeled with hearing loss. But when you're studying the association with between hearing and cognition, there's, you know, and you're studying a biological phenomenon, there's really no need to label an artificial threshold. So we wanted to look at the entire threshold of hearing from perfect to severe without defining any strict cut points and the association with cognition, which is also, it's a continuous thing. It's not really categorical. You don't really have step declines in your cognition. It would gradually decline over time.
Sure. Totally makes sense. So tell us about the methodology that you used in your data sources.
Sure. So we used two really big US cross-sectional studies that had both a good hearing measure, in other words, audiometry. So they weren't just saying people, hey, do you think you have hearing loss? Agree, medium agree, disagree. They actually sat down, had an audiogram, and had pure tones done. And they also had high quality cognition data. They had a variety of cognitive tests. So we used two of these studies. One was the Hispanic Community Health Study. And you actually recently had Michelle Arnold on your podcast, great podcast,
right, who thanks.
Talked about hearing aid use and the same thing.
Indeed.
And then we also used something a little better known called the National Health and Nutrition Examination Study, or NHANES. And so we chose to use both of these, not because I like double the work, but we wanted to confirm that findings were in, you know, both studies and not just one. So if we found it, it wasn't just a fluke or something related to that particular patient sample.
Got it.
And so as a result of combining them, it was pretty big. There were almost 6,500 subjects and the mean age was 59. And then in terms of the actual statistical methods, we used the relatively common technique of multivariable regression, which basically allows us to correlate an exposure, which in this case was hearing as measured by pure tone average, with an outcome, which was cognition. And we used a couple different cognition tests. And we controlled for a bunch of potential confounders, including age, sex, education, and cardiovascular disease.
So what did you find out? What did you learn?
So we used a few types of regression, which was kind of the special sauce of this paper. I'm on this NIH training grant, so I got to learn how to do these very sophisticated things thanks to the help of my brilliant biostatistical colleagues. So the first thing we did is we used regular multivariable linear regression, which is what you see in like, you know, half of papers. This draws a straight line across all people on the x-axis. And so first we confirmed what people have found before, that as hearing gets worse, cognition gets worse, and we were able to draw a line through all levels of hearing loss. But the question is the relationship between hearing loss and cognition, is it really linear? So a lot of people think that it's not linear. It would basically be a horizontal line going from perfect hearing 0 to 25 decibels, meaning there's no relationship. And then once you reach hearing loss, that's when the relationship begins. And then the line starts to go down, meaning worse hearing, worse cognition from 25 decibels on. So in your head, you can imagine a graph that's a horizontal line to start, and then a threshold is hit where you get hearing loss, and then the line starts to go down. People kind of assume this, and I sort of thought this was the case too. So the first thing we did is we used this special regression technique called GAM regression, which sounds scary, but it's not. And it stands for Generalized Additive Model Regression. That sounds even more scary, but basically it's very simple. The computer, using techniques that are sophisticated for the podcast, I will refer to them as magic. It basically draws a curve through the points. So instead of a line, it's drawing a squiggly curve. So it's more sensitive to where the points really are rather than forcing a line. So the point of doing this is it can show you a nonlinear relationship. You know, maybe it's like exponential or something nonlinear. And in nature, things really aren't often linear. We just always do linear regression because it's easy, because it uses, you know, like ninth grade math. If you remember, y equals mx plus b, may cause some nightmares in listeners, but that is a line. And that's all regression does, is just making a line. And so we found that in doing this GAM regression, the relationship actually existed in people who had normal hearing. So from going from 0 decibel perfect hearing to 24 decibels of borderline hearing loss, there was a drop in cognition. And then going from 25 decibels on to, say, 100 decibels, there was also a drop in cognition. And this is multivariable. So we're controlling for age and various confounders. But wait, that's not all. So the weird thing, which is why I think this study is so interesting, is not only was there a relationship in people who had normal hearing, it actually seemed that the relationship was stronger in those who have normal hearing. So that means that the drop in cognition going from 0 to 25 decibels seemed to be a little bigger than the drop going from, say, 25 to 50 decibels. And we showed that in certain tests, That was significantly different, meaning that the relationship was significantly stronger among those with normal hearing compared to those with hearing loss.
That's pretty interesting. So we have this association with subclinical hearing loss and cognitive performance. What are your thoughts about the association? The direct relationship, causation, are these just related or unrelated, simultaneous decline in two systems? What do you think is happening?
Yeah, great question. And that's, of course, what everyone wants to know. We found this cross-sectional association, but what does that mean? Everyone cares about the C word, causation. So first thing I have to say is this is a cross-sectional study, so it's hard to infer causation. So there's some theories that causally link worse hearing with worse cognition. So one theory is that people who have a lot of hearing loss, they have to spend a lot more mental energy decoding the words. And so they have less mental energy left at the end of the sentence to make memories. And people of hearing loss have told me this repeatedly. So they say, I'm sitting in a restaurant, someone's across from me, and if I don't eat and I stare at their face and I really concentrate and I have my hearing aids on, I know what they're saying. I can tell the words. But the problem is I'm focusing so much on what the words are. By the time they're done talking, I don't have any mental capacity left to actually think about the content of the speech. And then as I start thinking about it, they're already two sentences ahead and I just don't understand what people are saying.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's also possible that there could be confounders, right? So confounders are a common cause. So for example, age is the ultimate confounder. Age can cause hearing loss. Age can cause cognitive decline. But we controlled for age and other potential confounders. So those shouldn't be explaining the relationship. The problem is you cannot control for everything. There's always a possibility of confounders that you don't know about. And so you can't control them. And that's why you really need randomized trials, because it gets rid of confounders. The surprising thing about this study is that the relationship between hearing and cognition already began among people with non-perfect hearing. So people who had good hearing but not perfect hearing, their cognition was slightly worse, controlling for these confounders. And that is kind of unexpected.
Sure.
So this is the fun part about doing science. So I'm sitting here trying to write the discussion section of my paper, and I'm staring at the word processor, and I'm like, wait, I don't know what to put here. So then I had to stop and think about it for a week. And as I'm walking to work and driving, what does this mean? And so, if you think about it, I think you kind of can explain it. So let's say you're a college student and you're in a hard lecture and you're sitting next to someone who has just slightly better hearing than you. And it's hard to hear the professor because, all you can hear are people tapping away at their smartphones on Twitter and Instagram and things I haven't heard of. Now, the person who has slightly better hearing is going to take a little more home from the lecture, all other things being equal between those two students. So note they both have normal hearing, but one just has a little better hearing. So you could see the person who has a little better hearing, they're at an advantage in that situation. And this is just an isolated example, but there's many situations in life where we're in a situation where there's stimulating stuff happening through speaking. Lectures, we go to lectures all the time. And people who can hear a little better, they're probably going to soak up a little more. And in a very simple way, they might be a little smarter as a result. So an analogy maybe is muscle mass. So if you have better muscle mass, even better than someone who's average, you'd probably be a better runner, right? And if you were a better runner, you may be a more fit individual. So in the sense of muscle mass, for your overall fitness, better muscle mass is better beyond what's considered, normal, the threshold between normal and pathological.
Mm-hmm.
Likewise, if you have better hearing, you may be a better hearer, if I can coin a word, and maybe a better listener, and maybe even a more cognitively fit individual.
Yep, got it. It makes sense. How should these new findings be applied now and or in the future?
So that's a great question. So I love otolaryngology, and if I could redo residency, I would still do an otolaryngology residency. But I have to say the clinical research in otolaryngology is a little behind, say, other more mature and larger fields like cardiology. So I like to think of this analogy of hypertension. So both hearing loss and hypertension are kind of like silent disorders, pun intended for hearing loss, meaning people often don't know they have the symptoms. And this is true for most people with age-related hearing loss. The patients who come and see us, they're the rare ones who tend to be noticing it and bothered by it. And they actually come in the office. But for every person I see who has age-related hearing loss, there's probably another 10 who don't even realize they have it or don't care and never see someone for it. And so hypertension is kind of like this too. It's another disorder that used to be considered benign. And over time, it was realized that it was bad and we needed to control hypertension more aggressively. And so initially, 140 was considered sort of the cut point between normal and hypertension. That was lowered and lowered and lowered. And the reason why is we realized that the better the hypertension control, the better the outcomes. And that data came from randomized controlled trials. And I think that's what we need in otolaryngology. If we're going to talk about, you know, lowering the threshold for hearing loss, we can't do that unless we have trials showing that we really need aggressive treatment for hearing loss. We're many steps behind that. We're just trying to get people who have severe hearing loss to wear their hearing aids currently.
Lots of implications from this. Early exposure to noise, concert attendance, loud headphone use. Any final message for our listeners?
Absolutely. I think the message is that hearing loss, it used to be thought of as a benign, innocuous thing. There's more and more evidence showing this is not the case. And while this particular study is not longitudinal, it's not a randomized controlled trial, it does show among the first evidence that this association we've been seeing between hearing loss and cognition, it may begin among earlier forms of hearing loss than previously thought. Now, it's risky to make treatment recommendations based on preliminary data, but the thing about treating hearing loss is that it's very low risk and the potential benefit is high. You know, there's little risk to getting and wearing a hearing aid. So these data suggest that maybe we should encourage adults, even with mild hearing loss, to pursue a hearing aid. And that seems kind of strange. I see a lot of adults who have a lot of hearing loss and they don't want to wear hearing aids. And the ones with mild hearing loss, I've been tending just to reassure them like most people do, and I don't really push hearing aids. So that seems kind of extreme. But if you take a step back, in children, we very much encourage children with mild hearing loss to wear hearing aids. And why this discrepancy? If it's good for our kids, why isn't it good for adults? So I think we need to really think about hearing loss as a bigger problem with adults that we need to treat earlier.
Terrific conversation. Dr. Golub, thank you for joining us today and discussing this increasingly important issue of hearing impairment and cognitive decline.
Thank you.
It makes sense that if someone has hearing loss, that they invest so much energy in just trying to listen to someone, that they lose track of what's being said and can't absorb the conversation. This sort of redirected mental energy can lead to cognitive decline. Dr. Golub's research shows that there might be a relationship between very mild hearing loss and cognitive decline. If true, this is really important because noise is becoming more prevalent in our society, most especially by the ubiquitous use of earbuds and earphones that constantly bombard someone's eardrums. Ultimately, this will result in some element of hearing loss, and that hearing loss could prove to be an important cause for cognitive decline, even in young people. Being an observational study, this research is preliminary, but the results are interesting and merit further research. I'd like to thank Dr. Michael Johns from Otolaryngology for interviewing Dr. Justin Golub from Columbia University, and Dr. Golub for publishing his research in JAMA Otolaryngology. This podcast was originally published in the JAMA Otolaryngology Author Interviews podcast series. Find this series and many others like it from the JAMA Network at jamanetworkaudio.com.